every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. There will be justice, all will be new, your name forever, faithful and true.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
All of creation, sing that again.
All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon.
Call back the sinner.
Call back the sinner. Wake up the saint.
Yeah.
Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
There will be justice.
There will be justice, all will be new, your name forever, faithful and true.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
Even
so come, Lord Jesus. We wait your coming soon. So we wait for you. God, we wait your coming soon.
Like a bride.
Like a bride waiting for her groom. We'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing.
Like a bride.
Like a bride waiting for her groom. We'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come. Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
Even
so come, Lord Jesus, come.
Can you stand and sing this with us?
God, we wait. We wait for you, Lord.
Church ready for you, every heart longing for our King. We sing
like a bride,
hallelujah.
Like a bride waiting for her groom. We'll be a church ready for you, every heart longing for our King. We sing, even so. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
One more time.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. If the trumpet were to sound right now, how many of you know that you're ready to go right now? I don't know about you, but if there's ever been a time that I want to make sure that I'm ready, that I'm staying close to Jesus. I'm telling you, we're in the last days, church. We're in the last of the last of the last days. I really believe that. All you got to do is just see what's going on in the world. The chaos, the hate, the division. I'm telling you that the world needs to see a church. A world in chaos needs to see a church in revival. They need to see us pursuing Jesus like we never have before. Praying and seeking His face and calling on Him. Keeping our hand in the hand of the shepherd. As He leads, we've got to say, I will follow You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
Amen. Would you stretch your hand toward me and pray with me today? Father, I just thank You for the opportunity to bring forth Your Word. I pray that You would speak through Your servant, speak through me as Your spokesman, as Your called vessel, Lord. I just stand here today saying I'm nothing in and of myself, Lord. I'm weak without You. But I know with You I'm strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is Your word. It's not mine, God. And I just speak it, Lord, under the authority and the unction that You provide. You said, if any man ministers, let him minister with the ability which God supplies, that God and all things will be glorified through Jesus Christ. And that's what we're asking here today, Father, that You would speak to Your people. We thank You, Lord, for those services we've had this week, and I pray that we continue to reap the fruit of that labor this week. Lord, thank You for the work that You have done in many hearts and many lives. And Father, we're just asking for an outpouring of Your Spirit here today, and can a continued, renewed sense of revival and a stirring and awakening in our hearts to seek You with our whole being and to stay committed and to stay devoted to You, Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of it all. We give you praise and glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We are going to conclude this series today from Psalm chapter 23, and I've entitled this particular message, Final Destination. Final Destination. I read about a Christian man who was a frequent flyer, and whenever he would check in his luggage, he was sometimes asked the question, "What is your final destination?" Well, he got a kick out of the response that he would, because he would often answer, his final destination was heaven. And when he said that, sometimes they would say, "Well, sir, we can't check your bags in for there." And then he would respond and say, "Well, that's okay. They probably wouldn't make it there anyway." The truth is, we all have a final destination. And that final destination is eternity. You notice the last word in the psalm is the word forever. Now, I don't know what you can put before your forever, but understand that your final destination is going to be somewhere forever. Everybody say forever. It's going to be eternity. And that is a long time. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time wrapping my mind around the concept of eternity. To try to put things into perspective for you for a moment, how long is a million years? A million is 1,000,000. How long is 1,000,000,000 years? 1,000,000,000 is 1,000,000,000. How long is 1,000,000,000,000 years? 1,000,000,000,000 is 1,000,000,000,000. How long is 1,000,000,000,000 of years? 1,000,000,000,000 is 1,000,000,000,000,000. How long is 1,000,000,000,000 of years? 1,000,000,000,000 is 1,000,000,000,000,000. You say to yourself, that's unfathomable. I can't wrap my mind around it. Well, that's the whole point. That is eternity, because even after 1,000,000,000,000 of years has gone by, eternity will just have gotten started. It makes me think of that last verse of Amazing Grace, when we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I'm thankful for the opportunity for eternity with God. Could there be anything more important than eternity and knowing where we will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11 says, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." It's not just about getting saved. It's not just about knowing that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's about continuing in that. You got to continue to believe. You got to continue to do what's right. You got to continue to pray. You got to continue to strive. You've got to continue to know Him more. You've got to continue to the end, because they that endure to the end shall be saved. You can't give up somewhere in the middle of the fight. You'll hear me say that till the day I have my last breath, or the last time I'm ever able to preach from this pulpit. I don't know when that is, but I'm here to tell you today, you can't stop. You can't stop what you're doing. You've got to keep on keeping on in the Lord. God wants your final destination to be heaven. And when you come out of the valley of the shadow of death, I want you to be in the house of the Lord. I want to be in the house of the Lord. Life is a journey that is simply preparing you for your final destination. There are three wonderful, encouraging truths that I see here in this verse that I want to share with you, that give all of us who know the Lord — anybody know the Lord here today? You're not ashamed that you know Him — victory over worry, depression, victory over fear, victory over anxiety as we face the future. And as we were reminded this week in the revival services, how many of you know that we're not fighting for victory? We are fighting from a place of victory. I believe I'll say that one more time. We are not fighting for victory. We're already victorious. And the sooner and the quicker we realize that we're already victorious, the happier we're going to be and the more filled with joy we're going to be because of the life, the death, and the burial, and the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because He is at the right hand of the Father praying for you and me today, He ever lives to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We've got a Jesus, our great high priest, who's passed through the heavens. I'm telling you, He's interceding for you and me today, and I will not hang my head. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So why don't you lift up a praise and lift up a shout of worship and lift up a shout of victory, because you're fighting from victory, not for it. Hallelujah! Praise His name. Glory to God. First of all, God's goodness is watching over you. You believe that? We are told that goodness follows us all the days of our lives. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is good. Right? Not everything that happens to us is good. John 16 and 33 says, "In this world you will have tribulation." He just spells it out for us. In the book of Job, the Bible says that man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Yeah, she said. It's just reality, isn't it? Life is full of challenges. It's full of circumstances. It's full of trouble. Not everything that happens to us will be good. But it does mean that God will use everything that happens to you for your good. No matter what bad comes your way, if the Lord is your shepherd, no, hallelujah, if you have a relationship with Him somehow and some way, and sometimes it seems like I don't see how in the world good is going to come out of this and how God's going to get glory out of it, but somehow because of who He is, because He is good, because that is His nature, He brings good our way. He turns it around, hallelujah. Somebody needs to hear that today. God is turning some situations around in your life that look bleak and look dismal and look hopeless and look completely dark. I'm here to tell you today, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope. There is a light that shines in the middle of your darkness, and God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think. According to His power, He's turning it around. I said He's turning it around for your good. Oh, hallelujah. He's turning it around. I want you to think about something concerning goodness here. Nothing good ever comes except from God. Now, the world would argue with that. Well, this good has come because of my creativity and my ingenuity and my hard work. Well, I would ask, where did that ingenuity come from? Where did the ability to work hard come from? Where did the medical expertise come from? Where did the mental capacity come from? James 1 and 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift. That's why it's so important to have the Word of God as the source of your life, as the source of your value system, because the world doesn't use this as the source of how they think and how they act. But I'm here today to tell you, for the born-again Christian, this is our foundation. This is our value source. And so I say today, convince convincingly that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above. You couldn't even get out of bed this morning without Him. You couldn't even get ready and put your clothes on and come to the house of God without Him. You can't get up tomorrow and go to work without Him. You can't make that almighty dollar, if you will, without the help and grace of God. Every good gift comes from Him, and we ought to start praising and acknowledging Him. God, it's in You that I live, in You I move and have my being. I take my next breath because of You. You are my Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands and give Him praise for a few moments. Hallelujah. Pray for me. I just pray that God will continue to touch my mind right now. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, have Your way in this place. Have Your way in each of us, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In one sense, God is good to everybody. The psalmist said, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies over all of His works. Psalm 145 and 9. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the just. And He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You can go anywhere in this world and you can find some evidence of the goodness of God. How many of you know you can see the goodness of God evident in creation itself? Psalm 33 and 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Let me give you just one example, scientific example. I thought this was so cool. Lightning often terrifies us, right? It should. I know some people that didn't terrify and they paid for it, right? But did you know that you can see the goodness of God even in a flash of lightning? You see, we need nitrogen for our body. And although the atmosphere is full of it, we cannot absorb it through our lungs. So God sends an electrical charge, lightning, to separate nitrogen from the atmosphere, and the rain brings it down to the earth. And after that happens, a little bacteria transforms that nitrate into a nitrite. And in this form, a plant can absorb it. And we either eat the plant or we eat the animal that ate the plant, right? Then, when we do, we receive the nitrogen that we need to survive. So the next time you see a flash of lightning, make sure you get indoors. Make sure you don't have any metal in your hands. And thank God for His goodness that through a streak of lightning, He's given you some nitrogen that you need to be able to exist on this earth. I'm here to tell you, God is good. And every day He's doing things for us that we don't even realize He's doing. But it's time we have a fresh realization. He is good. If you're a parent, you understand the challenge of trying to convey to your kids just how good they have it. Right? I read about a dad who was getting fed up with all the materialism in the house, so he decided to have a family meeting. So he decided to sit down for one of those fatherly talks, and the kids were really young, and he said, "You kids don't realize how good you have it. When I was a boy, I used to get up way before daylight and deliver newspapers. I had to walk to school in the rain and the snow." You know, you've heard those stories, right? Uphill both ways, they say. I don't know. "And then I worked at the grocery store after school, and even then we didn't always have enough food to eat, and those kids' eyes got as big as coconuts, and they were at awe at what their dad told him, and dad was feeling pretty good about conveying his message. He thought it was finally sinking in." And then the little four-year-old said, "Gee, Dad, I bet you're glad you live with us now." Missed the point altogether. Aren't you thankful that God is good? You know, it's all right to laugh in church. I don't know about you, but I needed some laughter today. Secondly, God's grace is working in me. Not only is His goodness watching over me, His grace is working in me. And mercy is just the flip side of grace, if you will. In fact, it's because of grace that we have mercy. It's because of His unmerited, undeserved favor that He's poured out upon us that we have mercy. Oh, glory to God. I think we ought to just pause just for a moment right where you are and just thank the Lord for mercy. Thank you for mercy, Lord. Thank you for mercy. Hallelujah. Isaiah 60 and 10 says, I will have mercy on you through my grace. Grace has become the vehicle through which mercy has extended itself into your life. Now I want you to notice that both goodness and mercy, we are told, follow us. We need them both to be our best friends as we're on this life journey. The Hebrew word follow literally means to pursue. So when He says grace, goodness and mercy is following us, He's actually saying that goodness and mercy is pursuing you and me, runs after us, stays right on our heels all the days of our lives. Even when I was running from God, even when I was trying to get as far away from Him as I could, like Jonah who was running away from God, I'm here to tell you, goodness and mercy was still following after me, and goodness and mercy will continue to follow after me. I'm here to tell you, goodness and mercy will follow after you if you keep your hand in the hand of the shepherd of your soul. Remember, shepherds do not drive the sheep, they lead the sheep. Sheep are led from the front. So the shepherd would always be out front. But what the shepherd would always have with him would be sheepdogs. Oh, hallelujah. And usually there was two of them, and they would always be bringing up the rear. Their job was to follow behind the sheep. And if a sheep went astray, or if a sheep got off track, or if a sheep got hurt, or started falling behind, they would bark for the master. And the master would then know that something was wrong behind him. And the shepherd would do what he needed to do to help the sheep. David is saying that goodness and mercy are like divine sheepdogs in our lives. They're always following behind us, keeping watch over us, and helping us, and looking for the pitfalls of the enemy, and looking out, seeing what the enemy's trying to do here. I'm so glad that goodness and mercy are following me as I keep my eyes on the shepherd in front of me. Goodness and mercy are coming up behind me and saying, I've got your back. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today, goodness and mercy's got your back. You might be facing some things in your life, but goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. But you gotta keep your hand in the shepherd's hand. We need God's goodness to guide our steps, but we need His mercy when we stumble and fall down. Didn't I tell you a few moments ago, we need goodness and mercy. God's goodness supplies me, but God's mercy soothes me. God's goodness helps me, but God's mercy heals me. God's goodness provides, but God's mercy pardons. Hallelujah. He forgives my sin, and when I come to Him and say, God, I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. is. Not just one time, but over and over again. How many times have you come to God and said, God, I ask you to forgive me? Have you ever heard the Lord say, well, you've reached your quota. I can't forgive you anymore. I'm here to tell you that the mercy of the Lord endures forever. It never reaches a place of exhaustion. Oh my God, His grace and His mercy continues to flow. You ought to thank God for that today. His mercy endures forever. Numbers 14 and 18 says, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but He by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. How many know what God is saying right there? He's saying that His mercy is bountiful, that when we come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness, He forgives us. If you believe that, say amen. But how many of you know that when you persist in sin, there are still consequences for your sin? There's still consequences for your behavior. And even though some people have this mentality, well, I'll just keep doing what I want to do, and at some point, I'll ask God to forgive me. Well, first of all, that is a cheap view of grace. What you're doing is spitting on the face of Jesus and spitting on the cross at which He died on for you. And basically what you're saying, it's a premeditated form of sin, and you want grace to cover you at some point. But I'm here to tell you today, you can't have that kind of mentality, because that's not God's word. What you've got to believe and what you've got to know is that God wants you to live in righteousness. He wants you to live in holiness. He wants you to have an attitude, I don't want to sin. Because if you keep on sinning, even though God forgives you when you ask Him to, you reap what you sow. And not only do you reap what you sow, your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren have to reap what you have sown. So the choices and the decisions that you make today, oh, glory to God, help me today, are so vitally important, because it's not just about you. You can't be selfish. You can't just focus on you. You've got to think about the generations after you. You've got to think about the legacy that you're leaving behind. You've got to think about the heritage that's coming up after you. You've got to understand we're just one generation extinct from experiencing the power of God. But I'm here to say, as long as I've got breath in my body, I want to try to pass on the baton to the next generation. I want my kids to know what it is to experience the power of God. I want them to know what it is to pray and seek God when I need healing in my body. I want them to know that you've got a problem, you can go to God with it. You can get on your knees and cry out to God. I want them to know that coming to the house of God is important, and they can make their own decisions when they get out of my home. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You got to pass it on. Hallelujah. Whew. I told myself I wouldn't scream, but here I am. About to lose my voice. I'm so thankful that we're told that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Not just some of them, but all of them. Oh. Thank God for His nature, that He doesn't turn His goodness and His mercy on and off. Unlike a lot of people. He's not good one day and bad the next. He's not merciful one day and unmerciful the next. But on the other side of this equation, listen, I may ask you this question. Does God's goodness and mercy follow everyone? According to the Psalm, goodness and mercy follows those who have allowed the Lord to be their shepherd. If your hand is not in the hand of the shepherd, you can't say with all assurance that goodness and mercy is following you. I told you in a few moments ago, in a general sense, we all experience the goodness of the Lord. But here I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint, if you want the goodness and mercy of God to follow after you, you've got to follow the shepherd. Because goodness and mercy are not going to come up on the rear guard if you're not following the shepherd in front of you. In other words, they have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And if you want goodness and mercy to follow you, once again, you must follow the shepherd. I love that word surely there. Don't miss these important words. Surely. Everybody say surely. I didn't say surely. We got a surely in the church. I said surely. Right? Surely goodness and mercy. Not maybe. Not possibly. But surely I can look back on my life and thank God for His goodness and mercy that followed me. And if the Lord is your shepherd, you don't have to face your future with a question mark. You can face your future with an exclamation point. You can know and be excited that God's got your back. He's got your life in the palm of His hands. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God's goodness and mercy will follow you. You may not see it sometimes. You may not feel it sometimes. You may not recognize it sometimes. But I'm telling you, the shepherd of your soul, your heavenly Father, is there. Goodness and mercy are following you. You've got to know this truth. When you get in the middle of storms, when you get in the middle of a situation, when you get in the middle of exile, and you're in the middle of Babylon, you've got to know that His good grace has been extended towards you. And you've got to know what Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know that I have a plan for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a future and to give you a hope. It may not look good right now, but you've got to keep your eyes on me." Now lastly, God's glory is waiting on me, waiting on you. There's a great connective word in this verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And, everybody say and. This meant so much to David. In Psalm 27, four chapters later, what did he say? "One thing I have desired, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." David had one goal in his life, one major goal. He wanted to make it to heaven. How many of you want to make it to heaven? Because I'm here to tell you that heaven is not automatic. You've heard me say it before, and I feel like the Holy Spirit has put it upon my spirit. In every funeral service that I preach, He said, "You make sure you tell the people that heaven is not automatic," because that's what everybody wants to say. Well, you're going to see your loved one again, and everybody's going to see everybody again. I'm here to tell you, you're not going to see nobody unless you have a right relationship with Jesus. That's right. You better live for the Lord. You better have a right relationship with Him, and you'll get to see grandma and papa and mama and papa and brother and sister and aunt and uncle and all your friends that have gone on and died in the Lord. Not everybody's going to heaven. He wanted to go to heaven. He wanted to be in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this is an important concept for a shepherd, because how many of you know that shepherds were nomadic? They were always moving. They would take the sheep to one pasture that was green and luscious and were able to feed the sheep. But when they ate all that up, they had to move them to another place, right? When they drank all of that good water from the still waters, he had to find another water source. The shepherd never got to settle down in one place for long. But David was saying one day, "I'm going to make my final move." Oh, hallelujah. "I'm going to reach my final destination, and I'm going to be in the house of the Lord." And this destination is not just a place, it is a person. You notice that the psalm begins with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And it ends with the Lord. He is the author and he's the finisher of your faith. He said in John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm here to tell you today, God's got a dwelling. He's got a place and he's prepared for us. And that word mansion literally means this. It means dwelling places. He's got dwelling places for us. You and I are guaranteed and reserved a first-class suite in his house. And guess what? You don't have to check out at 11 a.m. Glory to God. You've heard people say, well, I just want my little cabin over in the corner. You know, I'll take that if that is what he wants for me. But right here it says he's prepared many mansions. So I'm just going to go by what the word says. He's got dwelling places for us. He's got a first-class suite for you. I'm here to tell you today, it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth all we're going through and what we're facing. I'm here to tell you this about heaven here today. What you have imagined in a positive way about heaven, what it's going to be like is going to far surpass anything that you have ever imagined or dreamed of. It's going to be so much better. It's going to be worth it. For I consider that the present sufferings of this world are not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. You don't need to miss heaven for nothing in this world. Pastor Tom, if you'll come on to the piano. There was a woman who had been diagnosed with a terminal illness. And she had been given 3 months to live. She was getting her things in order, and she called the pastor to come to her house, and she wanted to go over the funeral arrangements and things that needed to be done, and she requested that she be buried with her favorite Bible in hand. We've seen that many times. I've seen that many times. I love that scene. Holding the word dear to your heart. Seemed as if they had talked about everything, and as the pastor was getting up and getting ready to leave her house, she said, oh, wait a minute, pastor, there's one more thing. I almost forgot. It's very important. She said, this is very important. I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand. The pastor looked at her for a moment like she lost her mind, I guess. Didn't know quite what to say. You want to be buried with a fork in your right hand. He repeated several times. She said, yes, I know you think it's strange, but all of my years of going out to eat and maybe a public restaurant or even eating at the church, at the socials and the potluck dinners, someone would, without fail, always lean over and say, keep the fork. That was my favorite part because I knew something better was coming. Well, some of you will get that in a minute. I knew that chocolate pie or banana pudding or carrot cake. I'm sorry, it's almost 12 o'clock. I shouldn't be saying all these things. I don't guess. You know, something better was coming. Something wonderful, something sweet. She said, so when people walk by my casket and see that fork in my hand and they get that look on their face that says, what's up with the fork? I want you to say to them, keep your fork. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. And that pastor's eyes welled up with tears and joy as he hugged her and said his goodbyes. And a few months later, she went on to be with the Lord, and the pastor went to the funeral home and stood by the casket. And time after time, people would come by and they would inevitably say, "Pastor, what's up with the fork?" And he would say without question each and every time, "The best is yet to come." Won't you lean over to somebody beside of you here this morning and say, "The best is yet to come." Hallelujah. The next time you reach down for your fork, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you know that He's the shepherd of your life, you know He's the shepherd of your soul, just remember what your final destination is. The best is yet to come. No matter what you're facing right now, I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. That's why we must keep pressing on. That's why we must fight the good fight of faith. That's why we must lay hold of eternal life. That's why we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's why we must not become weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's why we gotta lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. That's why we gotta run with endurance the race that is set before us. Why? Because the best is yet to come. We can't stop now. Come on, stand to your feet and give God praise in this place. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. He's the author and He's the finisher of your faith. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh, lift your hands with me and give God praise in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise His name. The best is yet to come. And if we keep our focus and we keep our eyes on Jesus, listen to me today, church, we can say what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. We can say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all of them that love His appearing." All of them that stay focused, all of them that keep their eyes on Jesus, all of them that endure to the end, all of them that don't give up in the middle of the fight, all of them that are pressing on, they too. That's you and me. You know that, right? They too are going to get to hear Jesus' wonderful words. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Does that bless anybody here? Do you want to hear those words? "Well done. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. Come on in to enter into the joy of the Lord. Come on in and sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, don't forget the fork." Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. How many of you are intending on making it all the way to the end? You want to keep your eyes on Jesus no matter what. As a testimony of your declaration and your proclamation, I want you to come and stand right here in this altar with me this morning and say, "Jesus, I'm going to keep my hand in your hand as my shepherd. And I thank you for making sure that goodness and mercy are following after me all the days of my life. I intend to be in your house forever. That is my heart's desire. That is my declaration. And that is my stance. That's my stance. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you. I will serve you." He said, "In the last days, perilous times shall come." And I'm telling you, we're there, church. were there. But he also said, where sin abounds, you ready? Grace abounds all the more. So when the devil rises up with his attacks, there is a grace that gets stronger than the enemy. And it's time we start taking kingdom authority. Did you hear that word? It's time that we take kingdom authority. Jesus said, I give you the authority. I give it to you. Oh, hallelujah. I've been reading a lot here lately how he would just speak the word and the demons would leave. He would just speak the word and people would be healed. Anybody believe here today that you can speak the word and things can change? You believe you can speak to that evil spirit and it has to flee? Not just from your mind, but from somebody else's mind. Do you believe that the authority of Jesus has been transferred over to you and me? I'm here to tell you today, we are the head and not the tail. We are overcomers through the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice in praise to Him. Lift up your voice in kingdom authority. Come on, take some authority in Jesus' name. Commit yourself to keeping your hand in His hand and take authority in the spirit realm. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Sing it, praise team.
Lift up your hands, receive it now. Here in the presence of the Lord. Mercy.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Authority,
kingdom authority,
hallelujah.
Receive.